Welcome to the table, where three women of three generations are navigating together how to pursue God as Father, Jesus as Lord, and Spirit as Shepherd through every stage of life. It doesn't always look pretty, and it's never perfect, but we're always aiming to sharpen each other as iron on iron. So sister, pull up a chair, settle in, and get ready to grow with us in today's episode of The Iron Women.
Hey y'all, welcome back to The Iron Women. Thank you guys for joining us this week. We are excited for what we're going to talk about and get into. Today's topic is spiritual family. But before we do that, we're going to do our connection card question, which is, do you have, and if so, what is your lucky number or a favorite number?
No.
You've never had a favorite number?
No.
Okay. No.
Both of you?
Yeah. I'm like trying to think. Like the first one that came to my mind was like 7. Because that's God's number.
Mine has always been 13. 13 is my favorite number. Yeah, always and forever. That. It was my number on all my jerseys playing sports.
See, okay, that's probably, I never played sports.
Yeah.
I never played sports. I was never competitive. I never had a number. I ran track. Quote unquote.
She did track.
Yeah.
Track did her.
I was on the team.
Yeah. That's weird that neither of y'all have, you just don't have a number you gravitate towards. Like when you, really?
No.
The only thing I can say about numbers is I prefer even numbers because I'm a symmetrical.
I prefer 5 or 0 ending numbers. 5,
well,
10,
Erica
15,
has a whole
20,
number
25,
thing,
30, so, 35, yeah. 40. Except 13 is my, you know why I think I like 13? Because it's supposed to be the unlucky number.
Yeah.
So when I was young, I was like, you know what? I'm going to pick the unlucky number as my favorite one and make it work for me.
Yeah, there you go.
And I always wore 13. And so like, you know, when you make passwords for like stuff, like mine always has your 13.
Oh, okay. All your passwords.
Mine's 1.
1 is your magic number. Oh, wow.
And exclamation mark.
You and 6 million other
seriously.
People.
Seriously.
Oh, I don't know why I haven't been hacked yet.
L. Henry Gaze. 1 exclamation point.
And if I get creative, it's a dollar sign. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
That's sad, Lord.
I don't know if we should put this out there.
It's okay. It's okay. Y'all aren't going to steal from us, right? Listeners, friends, sisters.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Well, that was really short and sweet because 2 out of 3 didn't even have an answer. I'm the only one. Okay.
Oh, goodness.
Maybe that's a generational thing. Maybe. It started with like my age where like you had a favorite number. Like you had a favorite color and a favorite number growing up.
I just love the way you talk
color.
About it and your head's going back and forth.
You're very animated.
Yes. I know favorite color.
Yeah, favorite color, purple.
Yeah,
y'all purple. Are both purple.
Purple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mine's black.
Oh.
Yeah,
I love black.
It wasn't always black.
Did I say it was always black?
Is it black?
I said it's black now.
Oh. Okay.
It is black as of this moment.
Okay. Yeah.
On this day.
Yes, it's black.
But it has been black for years. It was green growing up. Green was my favorite.
Lime green.
Lime green. Bright lime in your face.
I was going to ask you what color purple is your favorite?
She loves lavender or a deep royally purple.
Look at any of my
clothes, accessories, bags.
No, it's some of this stuff. No, see, that's even too, like, y'all can't see a thing what I'm pointing
at. Is it this?
She likes her hat.
Look at my ministry. No, that is not my favorite.
Your hat. Color.
Yes, it's my hat. Duh. My hat that I have on. Yes, that is one of my favorite colors.
It's like a dusty, deep purple. Huh. It's a dusty grape.
Yes.
It's a dusty.
She's good at this. No wonder why she writes songs.
It's a dusty.
There's a name for it.
I'm going with dusty grape.
Wilted old grape.
Okay, so now what you have to do.
Raisin is the color.
You have to take my picture with this hat on behind
and put
the
it
thing
on the,
and
yes.
put it on Facebook.
Yep.
If you ever
you
looked
show
at my
y'all.
Ministry colors, I always tend toward this. And a girl at my church made me a blanket.
Yes.
That is my
color.
Favorite color, purple.
Yep. Well, mine's
don't
like,
do your eyes like that because you look crazy.
Okay.
From this perspective.
This is all coming at y'all.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying this?
There.
So, mine's like a deep, like magenta-y purple.
Yeah. Magenta means pink thrown in.
Yes. It's a pink and purple hybrid.
I like pinky purple.
Yeah.
Like jewel tones. Like my wedding was jewel tone.
Yeah.
Like that's like, that was the theme of my wedding. Like we had big jewels on the table and stuff like jewel tones.
I can always remember magenta because that was Blue's Clues.
Blue's Clues.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Magenta.
But like a
on.
Deep, like almost like black magenta, like a deep, 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 deep color.
A Merlot.
Yeah.
What do you know about Merlot?
Because it's a candle at Bath and Body Works. And the packaging.
Merlot is like a little too red.
Well, this one is called Black Cherry Merlot. And it's like a deep, deep, it's slightly more red, but it's a deep purpley red.
Yes, I like that deep, deep purpley. Anyways,
I like deep black. Black as black can be. That's my favorite color.
Blackest black.
I'm currently wearing black shirt and black pants.
Yep.
Because that's my vibe.
I've got purple
so
on.
Dark.
I've got like the, no.
You got my purple in your pants.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
That's like pretty close to.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to have to take a picture of my pants, too.
We're going to post Mama's hat and Lauren's pants.
And no context.
I know. One of our pastor's wives, we were at the Adidas outlet, and she's like, there is a hat over there. You're purple. And like, is it on sale? And she's like, I don't know. I'm like, well, I don't even care. Yeah. Yeah.
You could wear that hat golfing.
And we digress.
All right. Well, okay. Now you know our favorite numbers or lack thereof and favorite colors. You got a double whammy on the connection card question.
They're so
today.
Blessed now.
two for one, buy one, get one. So today we're going to be talking about spiritual family. And we wanted to kick off the conversation with just kind of defining spiritual family in case we never want to assume that y'all, you know what things mean. We could have people that are new to the faith, new to the Bible and relationship with Christ, or you're maybe not a believer at all and you're just listening and, you know, you never even heard the term spiritual family. So we're just wanting to define that really quick.
Yeah. Well, it's based on the Bible and what we're taught about this. When we become believers, we become children of God. We are adopted into his family. Mm-hmm. So God is now our father, and Christ, who yes, is our savior and Lord, is also our brother. And just like in a earthly family, we receive the inheritance of everything God has and will be given to Jesus. We receive that. So everything is based on, once you accept Christ as your savior, you are brought into a family. And this is what we call spiritual family. And so I am connected to every true believer in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
If they're male or female, they're my brother or my sister. Now we get a little creative in that in the Christian community where we're like, okay, you're my spiritual mama.
Yeah.
You're my spiritual grandma. You're my spiritual granddaughter. And that's perfectly fine. So spiritual family is those who are believers. You're now in a familial relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to start transitioning our thought process that these are just not people we walk into church with each week.
Right.
These are people that we now view as family. And everything you think about your blood family here on earth, your biological family, with all its warts and wonderful aspects, it's the same thing with the spiritual family.
Yeah. So what are some things, now that we've defined spiritual family, who qualifies as spiritual family? Once you're in a spiritual family, how many times are we going to say spiritual family? Once you're in a spiritual family, what are some things that we need to be looking out for to be trying to do in and amongst our spiritual family?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm big on this one because, and it took the Lord plucking me up away from my
biological
family to really like put this in my heart. Cause I'll be honest with you, when I lived with like close to all of my biological family, I didn't necessarily like
need
to like spend time with like spiritual family. You know, like we had like our friend group and stuff like that, but like the actual need for spiritual family just wasn't present because I had a biological family so close.
Yeah.
And when we moved here, we don't have a whole lot of biological family around us, and like the closest one's 45 minutes away. And so the church really became that. And man, it just became really, really, really important to me.
Yeah.
And I started to be like, I need these relationships. I need these people. I have small kids. Like, yeah, practically, like, I remember when we first came here, because I connected with you, Deanna, pretty quickly. And I remember I was having like car issues. And I was like, I don't even know how I'm going to pick my kids up today. And like, literally, like, it's just, it's those things where you're just like, if I had, obviously, I would call my mom.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? And so I remember like texting you
yeah.
and I was like, I need to get my kids from school. Like, yeah, I don't have a car. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm, and you're like, yeah, like, you can just keep my car for the day. I don't need it. Yeah. You know, like, yeah, and it was just like, even like little things like that, like just doing life and the nuances of life together. Like, that's something that we need to do with our spiritual family, yeah, and invite them into like the opportunities to participate in life with you.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, like in just practical ways, you know? So that would be one.
Yeah. I know this can become a very touchy subject.
Yes. And I know,
especially here in the South, because there is such a strong familial bond among, yeah, biological family, even if they just hating each other.
Yeah.
There's a strong bond.
You loyal.
Yeah. And so, which is a beautiful thing, right, for a biological family to be close.
Right.
And so, you know, just from my experience of this, I too have never really been around biological family.
Yeah.
And so, I've experienced people taking us into their life,
mm-hmm,
and then I've experienced being at a church where, you know, there's me and my husband and our little kids, and I would watch everyone just go and do their, hey, I'll see you after church. You know, mom, are you cooking? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And these other people, and no one like brought us in.
Yeah.
And we were very alone.
Yeah.
Very alone. And so, you know, I kind of like got on the like, okay, like what is this supposed to look like? So, you know, me, I start doing this thing on spiritual family. And I am of the belief system now that spiritual family outranks physical family. Where did I come up with this? Well, when I would read the New Testament, I just started marking every place where like a familial term was used in relation to the body of Christ.
Mm.
And then I started sensing in there the pulling away from physical being the main to now spiritual is the main. Mm. And so I'm like, okay, I'm a wacko for thinking this. Like, this is never like, Dana, this is just you because you have no physical family around. You're trying to spiritualize this.
Yeah.
Well, then, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm going to see what a few of those Bible scholars, preachers out there say on this. And I was shocked.
Mm.
There's stuff out there. And some of the people that we hold in, you know, a high place of studying scripture and learning this, they're flat out saying like, yes, like the spiritual family now. And so as I studied that, it's like, okay, so I'm now as a Christian I have to now live with a spiritual mentality that my eternal life is the most important. And so that's how all that came. And when Paul said, my true son, I'm like, okay, why does he say true son on a son that's not his biological son?
Yeah.
And so I started looking into that. And so, yes, I am of the firm belief. Now, the beautiful thing is it's great when they coincide.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's a great thing.
Yep.
And so, but what I have found in experience is that most people just make their biological family the one all be all. This is who gets all my time, gets all my attention.
Yeah. It's an idol.
An idol.
I mean, call it, you know, yes, like that's what it becomes, a stumbling block to you becoming involved
with
spiritual things.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and, we're just, we got to tear those things down.
Yes.
You know, like that, who sits on the throne?
Yeah.
You know, and are you doing like, I think of that verse that, the one where Jesus is like, I didn't come to bring peace, but I came to turn like mother against daughter and son against father.
Yeah.
And like,
we don't like those verses.
No, we don't, but they're in there and they're in there for purpose, you know? And I remember like, that was one of, that was just one of the verses that really, it carried me through a life season. Yeah. Where I was like, okay, it's okay for this tension to be present.
Yeah.
You know, because my biological family, at that time were not believers. And in fact, they were like being real ugly towards me for my faith.
Being a belief, yeah.
You know? And that was a verse that I stood on, like, okay, Jesus has felt this.
Yeah.
He's walked through this. Like I can make it through too, you know? Yeah. Like he has provided a family where mine has like basically like, you know.
Isn't it weird to think? I've never thought about this. God left his spiritual family.
Yes.
To come down into a physical family.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, they were ended up, you know, being a spiritual family too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he didn't have a physical family. Mm-hmm. He existed in the Trinity in a spiritual mm-hmm. being
right.
family.
Right.
Left that, had to come down to our sorry little earth to experience physical family.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then got to go back up to the spiritual family to teach us how to do it. I just never thought about it in that sense of like, he had spiritual family for all of eternity.
Yeah.
And then he came and, you know, let himself be a part of a physical family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. When Jesus complained about when he was like, oh, how much longer do I have to be with you people? Was he talking about believers?
I'm sure he's talking about it all.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah,
but I I think of that because it's okay.
Me.
Yes, like it's even Paul was like, you know, like, and that was like with his brothers and sisters. Like, you're gonna have those same rubs with your spiritual family. Like,
well, and that's what happens.
Yes,
because we aren't functioning as true family.
Right.
As soon as a rub comes up.
Oh yeah. We just leave and go
to
the next family.
And we totally ignore like, okay, this is what the epistles were written for.
Yeah.
To tell us how to interact.
Yes.
With brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
As family, how do we deal with these rubs and these problems? Well, we just like, I'm going to sit on the opposite side of the church and never talk to them again because they don't think the way I think or they've done something. No, this is where like, okay, we go to them.
Yes.
And so when I started seeing that, like, wait a minute, like church is not acting like
a family,
spiritual family at all. Like
we're disposable. We treat each other like we're just disposable.
Yes.
Oh, well, I can find another one that will agree with me.
Yes.
Or that won't feel like this much tension.
And that's why I take so seriously, like when you become a member of a church, like you're going into a deeper level, like I'm going to become family with them.
Yeah.
And so what I started realizing was an issue was this. Families would kind of hang out with their families and we'd go into church and it stayed that way. And I mean, I've been involved with a spiritual community that no one ever invited us into their home. No one cared to know what Jeff and I were like outside of our little ministry roles. And so, you know, I was longing for family.
Yeah.
I was longing for that familial and I constantly longed for that. And so what I did, I just started doing deep dives in scripture. Like what are we supposed to really do? So what does this look like in the church?
Yeah.
To be spiritual family. And it was a lot. What I went looking for is just anything that was family, brother, sister, anything like that. And so Galatians 6:10, written to believers. This is how we should treat the other believers. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So my especially doing good should be to my believing family. Romans 12:13, it says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice, pursue hospitality. And what that verse is talking about, if you look at it, it's like, get those homes open. Have the Lord's people in your homes pursuing hospitality. Mm-hmm. 1 Peter 4:9, above all, maintain constant love for one another since love covers a multitude of sins. So he is writing this to these little groups of churches, these little groups of believers. And it says, be hospitable to one another without complaining. So it's telling us here, okay, this group of believers that you're now with, this spiritual family, this is how you were supposed to be. That word hospitality there comes from a word that means stranger, foreigner, friend. It doesn't mean blood family. And so it means to treat the stranger as a friend, that new person, that believing spiritual family. I mean, we just have the second greatest commandment, love our neighbor as ourselves. And the idea of neighbor is anyone in your sphere. So loving these different people. And then I got to all this stuff where Paul would refer to Titus as my true son. Like, what does true son mean? Like, I would have thought that the biological son was the true son, but we know Timothy was not his biological son. We see all these familial terms in all the epistles. And what we're seeing here is that the spiritual realm is the real realm, the true realm, the main realm, the primary realm. The physical is the secondary. And even in 3 John, John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. He's not referring to biological children there.
Yeah.
He's referring to his spiritual children. And so when we start thinking about this, I would give this analogy when I would teach this stuff, just this picture, because what if we placed spiritual family in the same priority as we do physical family? Would that affect our attitude? So I think of a new mother with her baby and even that new father. And it's just like, oh, look at them. Their every waking moment is given to that new baby because that new baby is dependent on them for everything. Mm-hmm. If they ignore that baby's needs, that baby will die. Mm-hmm. It will literally die. And so I say, okay, so here we are with spiritual family and we have someone that gets saved mm-hmm. in our church. That person saved. And you know, we love the, oh, we led someone to the Lord today and they're saved. Yes.
That's the hard part.
Oh, we may even see them baptized. Oh yes. Praise the Lord. And we clap and we're so excited. But I'll tell you what, I rarely see the body of Christ say, okay, now let's take that beautiful little baby and we've got to give all our attention to it mm-hmm. or that baby. I have experience. Oh, where is that person? Oh, they really must not got saved, blah, blah, blah. And I feel like screaming, yeah, it's because you as spiritual parents totally neglected that spiritual baby. Mm. And I just start saying like, what if?
Yeah.
What if we truly taught them, treated them as spiritual family? And so we have to really consider, where are we giving our efforts, our energy, our time? And I'll just be honest, because I'm around families.
Mm-hmm.
All our family time, all our extra time is given to the biological family. Mm. And so like someone's like, Deanna, like, you know, the family was the first thing God created and my family is my first ministry. Okay. All right. Yeah. So what are you saying? Well, I'm saying that my family, oh no, what you're saying is my family is my only ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you're wrong. I've had moms just say, well, I'm discipling my children. Wonderful. Wonderful. Do that. You right. better be discipling your children. But that does not give you a clause
yeah.
that you don't have to be.
It's not an out.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Still involved with the other people in your church and spiritually investing in their lives.
Right.
We are so out of whack with this.
Yeah.
We come and go from our things at church, but we are not developing familial relationships
yeah.
with these people.
Yeah.
A really good quote that we had down was by Tom Rainer, who, if you've not heard of Tom Rainer, he was the president of Lifeway for many years, and now he's leading in the revitalization of some churches. But he's a really highly regarded guy in our communities. But he said, unity doesn't just happen within a group of people simply because they decide to attend the same church. It takes work. It takes sacrifice, and it takes individuals who recognize they can serve as a unifying or a divisive force within the body and choose to seek unity. I just like how it said you have to choose it, but then you also have to seek it. Yeah. You have to create. Yes. You know, yes. It doesn't just come handed to you right out of the gate. No, you've got to seek the unity, because we as humans are going to divide ourselves.
Yep.
Not divide ourselves. Yeah. Right. Over every little thing that comes up in the world. Yep. So we have to choose to seek it by individuals, by families, through mm-hmm. you know, our marriages, and through our church units. So like, what is some ways that, you know, maybe we've seen, you know, whether it's us individually or someone with us or in our churches, how we've chosen to pursue and seek out unity?
Yeah. I know for me, this kind of touches back on like the discipleship mentor episode a little bit, but just inviting people into your life with you, you know, mm-hmm. like inviting people, like, okay, you know, like I have a young family at home. They require a lot of time and attention because they're little right now, you know? And so I'm inundated with dishes and laundry and all the things and all the stuff and everything else. But there's no reason why I can't invite one of my little sisters over to sit on the couch with me and just talk about life and everything else while I fold laundry on my dining room table, or, you know what I mean? Like, or, you know, while I have an errand to run up to Greenville. You want to just come along for an hour long car ride? Let's catch up. You know, like my sister who might be struggling or going through something or whatever, you know what I mean? Like you can make the time and space without like sacrificing the things that you need to still keep alive. You know what I mean? Like you can still, you just have to, it's just a level of intentionality. And I don't always do, like, sometimes I'm just tired, you know, but like even in that, you want to just come over and watch a movie? Like, let's just do, you know, like it's just participating in life together.
Well, so if you just want to do the basic of opening your home. Okay. First of all, people, we've bought into this idea that our home is our like hideaway from everyone, everything. And there can be elements of that, of going home and this is where you can relax and renew and, you know, get the rest you need and be with those special loved ones that you do have a responsibility to speak into their lives, your spouses, your children. But we've gone that so far that my home is shut off to everyone. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I mean, I gotta be careful here. There are people that are in my spiritual realm that I've never been in their home. Mm. And it's just like, you know, not everybody can do it. No, I get that. But I know that those people don't invite anyone into their home. Mm-hmm. And so it should be something where our homes, where the welcome mats we put outside truly mean that.
Yeah.
I used to joke as I was drive by places and stuff and see all these, you know, cool welcome signs, you know, the big boards now that we have, oh, welcome and all this. I'm like, that ain't true. Like, I know I can't go in that home.
Yeah.
You know, well, that home is never.
At least welcome mats are starting to become honest. Yeah. Have you seen the ones and that are like pets only?
I know. And it's just like, okay, believers, let's be honest. Like, no. You want to keep your relationship with the believers in your church at arm's length. Yeah. Or what we do is we fill up our life with, well, I have to, you know, every weekend goes to my biological family. And every Friday night goes to my biological family. Every Sunday afternoon is my biological family. And I'm like, okay, you have an idol. You have an idol. So open your homes to people.
Yeah.
You know, and don't worry about like, well, I don't have this kind of home or that, you know. Open your homes to believing people and just bring them in and let it be relaxed.
Yeah.
One of the things too is we need to see people in our church as family. We don't see them as family.
Right.
That was something I was going to bring up that we had down, was there's actually a beautiful side of spiritual family that you don't get with your blood family. With blood family, you're all connected by DNA. You're all generally going to look the same. You're all going to generally have the same ancestry, same background, same family stories to swap around.
Yeah.
But with spiritual family, you are coming from someone who could be in a totally different ethnicity from you,
yeah.
look totally different from you, from be across the world or from across town,
yeah.
And like went to a different school, had different upbringings.
Mm-hmm.
And you, it's just like this collage of like the kingdom that yeah. comes together yeah. in the spiritual family. And I mean, just the three of us sitting here, me and Mama are physical family and spiritual family. But then we've got Lauren, who mm-hmm. we are all three spiritual family. And we, you know, learn from Lauren and Lauren learns from us and mm-hmm. we share stories and mm-hmm. we have each other, you know, in homes and go out to eat and we text and we check in. And it's yep. just like, I know what's going on in Lauren's life and she knows what's going on in our life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just like this. It does take effort though. Yes. You got to be yeah. intentional and there is sacrifices to be made.
Yes. Yes.
It's not, you know, when you really like the person, it's easier. Like yeah. we really like Lauren most of the time.
Yeah. yeah.
Most. We'll yeah. put a caveat. Yeah.
She
most.
Likes us.
Right. And she most likes us best. So that can be easier, but it gets harder and there's more sacrifice involved and work when it's maybe someone you naturally don't feel that ease with.
Yeah.
You don't connect you to, with yeah, over
you have to work at connection
or, you know, any, you know, backgrounds, you know, have the similar backgrounds you can talk about. You got to really work at that connection or you may just have like a, like a prejudice against someone
oh, yeah.
for any reason, but your spiritual family, like you're going to be in heaven forever with this person. Like mm-hmm. it, there's a sacrifice to it. And that's like where the Lord's just got to mold you and hopefully like show you where you can grow in that.
Yeah.
I know.
But our church, you know, churches can really have that. We have an opportunity to grow in seeing each other for the spiritual family we are and not just who we look like on the outside. Cause there's so much more to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And until we like, start living like I want to get to know these other people that are different than me. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, statistics say we generally want to hang around the people that are just like us.
Yes.
It's comfortable.
Who think like us and yes. believe like us. And yeah.
And so, you know, we'll have people, this has been forever a thing, that people will come into a church and like, let's take our church out. And they're like, oh, there's like such a really good family feel here.
Mm.
And they'll come in and then what they do is they expect everyone there to make the steps towards them. And I'm like, okay, we only have a family feel when steps are made toward each other.
Right.
And so like, I will tell them like, if someone's leaving the church and like, yeah, we just really didn't feel connected. I'm like, well, can I be honest with you? You came in at the last minute. You sat in the backest corner you could sit in and you left right away.
Right.
You make it almost impossible for people to reach out to you. So becoming a family goes both ways. But then I've also seen that become a problem in a church because, oh, well, we're so family. We don't want to bring anyone else into this because what we've got going and we have cliques.
Yeah.
We don't want to bring someone else into this family feel. Mm. And so there's so many like, so be open.
Right.
Open your home. Choose to love. Mm-hmm. Don't hang around people just like you.
Yeah.
Notice that there's singles in your church that need families.
Mm-hmm.
They very much get left out of the couple world. There are widows that you need to adopt as grandmothers.
Mm-hmm.
There are, you know, widow men that, you know, basically live life alone and would love to be part of some of your yeah. family things. There's the little...
It'd be hard.
Yeah, the little Christian couple that just now got married and they had no example of what a Christian home looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting back on your fat, happy, you know, oh, this is my Christian family. We've been so blessed. But you're never going to invite that little Christian couple because, oh, they're a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
this has been life changing for me. Like I really legitimately have been like, the Lord has just been gracious to me in constantly providing us people who like genuinely took us in under them, like as their family.
Yes.
And we have been like, there has been so much spiritual fruit in Mark and I's and our kids' lives because yep. people mothered and fathered us. And like people took us under their wing and like we were family. We were family to them. And they like, they were present for us, not just physically, but like emotionally and just walked through storms with us and everything. You know what I mean? Like we really have been, the Lord's been gracious to us in this area, you know, and it's taught us to at least yearn to do that for others.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that we want to be that for someone else. We know what that has done for us,
yes.
You know,
yes.
And it is, it's absolutely life-changing. It's trajectory changing.
Well, and with our culture, the way it's gone, we no longer know how to connect with people.
Yeah.
And so like, we're going to put some things in the show notes here of, I'm just telling you, you need to read some books on how to connect with spiritual yes. family, because we've lost the ability. Mm. Like there's some still good extroverted people out there that still know how to connect and everything.
Right.
But that doesn't mean they're connecting with everyone in the Christian family the mm-mm. way they should be. And the thing is, you can't connect with everyone.
Right.
And so like, say we have a church of 250 people on a Sunday and that goes out to maybe 300 of people that are connected. And so I'm like, Jeff and Deanna can't have 300 people
yeah.
in their life connecting with them. Mm-hmm. Lauren and Mark can't connect. It takes everyone yep. connecting. So what I say to individuals is this, right now, how are you investing in the spiritual family of your church, not other churches, of your church, that you are opening your home, you're doing life with them? How are you doing that? Mm-hmm. And I would sadly have to say like, I keep my grandchildren. Okay, that's like because you love yourself and you love your grandchildren.
Yeah.
How have you opened your home to maybe a couple that has children and they don't have godly grandparents? Mm. Are you being a godly grandparent to other people in your church? My children went through their childhood with no grandparents that lived near them. Mm. And I constantly wanted an older couple in the church. Would you please just like parent and grandparent us?
Yeah.
No one.
Yeah.
No one. And that's why I am so like adamant. We had a few people, but I had to pursue that. Would you kind of be this in our life?
And, yeah.
And it was still like, it just never. So I'm like, open your eyes, mm-hmm. get out of your, you know, your little tunnel vision world with your little family and maybe the two or three people that you like to connect with, and realize there are people in your church. And yes, it, like Erica said, it may take work and energy. Start opening your homes and life to them.
Yep.
Gardening is, gardening will waste away. Building bigger, better homes will waste away.
Or just elevate it.
Yes.
Invite someone to into garden your with gardening. You.
I know. Like into those things that you're giving your life
yes.
to.
Yes. Like, okay, you're great at gardening. That's something that, okay. Have someone who might be interested in gardening
yes.
come alongside you on the Thursday afternoons that you do, yes. that you tend to your garden yes. or whatever. You know what I mean? Like building projects and everything else. Like we've had different groups come, like groups of men come to our house and like just help us with projects
yes.
all around the house. And then Mark goes and goes to their house
yes.
and like does the same exact thing. Like they're being brothers.
Yes.
They're mm-hmm. literally like being brothers to one another and like helping with crap that couldn't otherwise get done.
Yes.
You know, like you invite people into those things. If you're like, you know what I mean? Like when you have a need, the first, like you call on those mm-hmm. around you, you know, and hopefully when you see the needs of others, you're being like, okay, man, what can I do to meet this need?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, like yes. this is my family that's sitting right. in front of me. Yeah. You know?
And that goes back to building that margin in your life.
Yes.
If yep. you constantly say that every Sunday is dinner with my biological family, well, you've not built margin in.
Yeah.
You've not built margin in.
So that goes back to that.
Integrating
the spiritual. But what I was going to say, and I love a good one-liner. Y'all know that about me. Okay. But boundaries are to keep God close, not people far away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the point of a boundary is to keep your relationship with God close and intimate.
Right.
It's not to like put up guardrails so that people can't come close right. to you. You know, like
Some practical ideas we want to just throw at you guys.
Yeah.
And honestly, take one of these over the next week. So like if you're listening to this, our episodes come out on Wednesdays. So maybe you go to Wednesday night church and just try one of these out tonight, or maybe this coming weekend on the Friday, Saturday night, or when you go to church on Sunday, try one of these out. Okay.
Yeah.
So
we can list these in the resources too.
Okay.
And actually put them so that you can see them.
So a couple are, notice the people that sit in your direct area at church. If you always sit in the same place, you would think you would know the people that sit in the same places, but sometimes you never know. Yeah. So notice the people that sit in your area. Do you know their names? What's going on in their lives? Do you know how to pray for them?
Okay. So notice the people on the other side of the church. Change where you sit every once in a while.
No.
I feel like I can't even say that because I literally sit in the same
spot. No, I need Lauren to sit in the same spot because I stand on the stage right normally in front of her row, and she is so encouraging as a worship leader to bleed.
I'm like rocking out in the front row, and I get distracted, y'all. Okay, so do that if you have capacity to do that.
Yes.
We're not being legalistic, folks.
No, but... your pastors like people to be on that front row as well.
Yeah.
So very few people do that. I don't know why in our churches we fight for the back seats.
I know. But did you hear that? Like, say that louder for the people in the back, Deanna. Your pastors.
Literally, the people in the back.
Yes. Your pastors like people to be in the front seats.
Can we say that? Can we say it just one more time?
Yes. Your pastors like people to be in the front seat.
AKA, get your butts.
It's encouraging.
Come to the front.
Yeah.
But don't take my spot.
Yeah. And then don't go to the bathroom 12 times if you are sitting
I'm just
in the
kidding.
Front
you
spot.
Can totally take my spot and I will get over
okay,
it.
Okay. Back to the list. Okay. Determined to meet a person you don't know each week when you go to church and ask questions about them. And I say this to some people and they're like, this is totally against my personality. And honestly, I just have to be like, well, it's not about you and your personality, quite honestly.
Yeah.
You know, so walk around. Like, there are literally people that go to church each week and they talk to the same exact people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's so wrong.
Yeah.
That's so wrong.
And
so,
if you struggle with this, I know we've mentioned in a previous episode, go volunteer to be like a door greeter.
Oh, and just get over that you struggle with it.
Yeah.
Good gracious. It's that comfort-based decisions.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
listen,
it'll strengthen the muscle.
And it's like, okay, I've got to go
talk. I know,
talk.
Me
yeah,
too.
And so, yeah, I'm like, get over yourself.
So
that's the mercy in me speaking.
You can tell this isn't the first episode we've recorded today. Our mercy's leaking out.
Yeah.
So another one is to invite someone you don't know very well over for Sunday lunch or take someone out to lunch. Like if you're already going out to Mexican and it's just you and yours and you see the family walking out at the same time as you. Hey, y'all got plans for lunch already? No, actually, we don't. We going to Mexican. Want to come? Okay, yeah. Which one? There you go. That's literally all it took.
Yeah.
That's all it literally took.
Ask someone your age and gender to meet for coffee and share about each other's stories. Super simple.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, you don't even have to know the person. Like, you just like, I mean, I remember Deanna, you texted me when a young woman started coming to our church and you were like, she's a photographer. I was like, I'm on it.
Yeah.
I mean, literally that's all it took. And then I reached out to her and I was like, hey, you want to grab coffee? Let's just talk about pictures.
Yes.
And that turned into like a 3-hour conversation in no time, you know, and it was a connection. Like we still to this day have this connection, you know, like,
You know, we are in one of my little soapboxes. So it's really hard for me not to like, just you know,
hit it hard,
go off the chain.
Get it, girl.
Okay. I'll stick to see if another family at a similar stage of life wants to do an activity, go watch a movie, go bowling, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
you know, look at another family that's coming in, like, well, they've got kids our age.
Yes,
let's do something with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
I think something people a lot of times just assume is happening but is not is the staff of your church. And they need to know that y'all appreciate them. Like, and this is coming from a pastor's daughter. So like, please go invite your pastor and pastor's wife and their kids, or, you know, the children's pastor, the youth pastor, the worship pastor, the secretary, the maintenance people, like all these people that regularly serve you. Please serve them back.
Yeah.
Please just get, you know, provide a meal for them.
Mm-hmm.
Please just provide like a night, you know, a couple times a year where they can just come and play board games or, you know, go out and play cornhole in the yard. Just where they can come and be human beings with you.
Yeah.
Because that is not happening.
And that's the key. Like, sometimes you do get invited over, but then you find out there was an ulterior motive for being invited
Yes, do
over.
Not invite your pastor and pastor's wife over.
I really think that this needs said.
Like, no, I'm saying it. Please, let me say it.
Please, like, perk your ears up.
Listen up, people. Listen up. Do not invite your pastor and pastor's wife. Hey, do y'all want to go out for coffee on Saturday? Hey, do you want to come over for dinner on Thursday? Oh, yeah, we would love to. And then your pastor and pastor's are like, no one's asked us over in like 2 years. Yes, thank you, Lord. And then they come over. And within like the first 20 minutes, it's become so obvious that you had an agenda for the night because you have this major problem going on in your life and you want counseling over it. And you want them to stay till midnight talking to you about how they can help you. Please don't do that. Schedule a time in the week,
because
I know they're cheaper than therapists, okay? But listen,
let them have a break and just enjoy your company. Yeah. Don't go unloading all your problems and what you need counseling over about. I know you don't want to be told this, but you need to be told.
Yes.
Okay, I'm done.
Refrain. Just hold back. Just try. Try. That's all
but
it takes.
If you do need that aspect of us,
I know.
Just say, listen, there's some things we need to talk about and we just have some questions. Can we get together? And that way going in, we know.
Yeah, they're like, prepared. They're not switch baited. Yeah.
Yes. Just be clear up front with what you foresee the evening being. If it is like y'all really have something serious y'all want to ask them about and talk with, ask them, hey, is there a night y'all can come over? We have some questions about something.
Yeah, we need some counsel.
We need some advice. And then they'll plan that. But if it's like, don't do the cop out of saying, hey, you want to come over for dinner? Y'all like steak? Steak and counseling? Yeah, don't do that. Yeah. Okay, let's
Free
move on.
Steaks have okay. cost us a lot in years gone by.
They could be rich by now. Okay, partner up. So maybe you don't have a home that's like suited for to host a lot of people, you know, if someone else has a home that's better suited for company or share fixing the meals. Like if you don't have a budget necessarily, partner up with someone like, hey, you cook the meal, I'll open my home and you can do this together. This is something that you don't have to be on an island for. You know what I mean? If you're an introvert, like literally open your home and just invite one of your extrovert friends who's dying to get their 3,500 word count out and have them come over and host.
Yeah, this is a great idea.
Yeah.
And most people don't think about this.
Yeah.
And so we started doing this years ago, like with singles.
Yeah.
Because we had some singles that are like, oh, I'd love to do this and this and that, but like, I have this little one room thing. And I'm like, use my house.
Yes.
Use my house.
Yeah.
Or I don't really enjoy cooking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I have a house. Like, so if you want to do the cooking, you have my house to do this in.
Come
and
on over.
Yeah, that's a great deal. Yes, partnering up. This one is very similar to one I said, but like have a pizza and game night with a new family or a couple new families in the church. And sometimes I say like do two or three families. That way that one new family's not feeling like, you know, you actually have some conversation and some stuff going on. So like, okay, new family. So two other families that kind of know each other. Hey, let's just get some pizza and some games and let's invite this new family over with kids and just kind of acclimate them, you know, let's acclimate them quickly into, you know, the familial aspect of our church.
And then lastly, just a couple are you can adopt a college student, adopt a single person or a widowed person in your church home and just take some steps to make them a part of your family. If you're going to go out to dinner, just invite them to come along with you. And like Lauren said, go take a drive. You know, if you're already going to run some errands and, you know, the widow or the single, you know, doesn't have, you know, the family that they're having to worry about schedules and stuff. If they're just making their own decisions, they probably can bop along for a little ride up the road to Greenville with you and just hang out and grab coffee on the way to talk.
Yep.
And then lastly, about when you go to church, heed, hear ye, hear ye. Heed. Swamp those new people. I love the word swamp.
Yeah.
Swamp them, baby. Swamp them. Don't let them get away.
Yeah.
Go grab them. Invite them to sit with you. Ask them if they need, you know, access to the nursery to be shown how to do that whole ordeal. Because let me tell you, to get your kids into the nurseries, they got to get a sticker these days.
It's a job.
You got to go in a system.
And every church has like a different system.
Yes. Every church
generally
is
all the same, but they all like are like have little different nuances.
Yes.
And it's intimidating.
Yes.
Like,
so if you already know how that whole system works, Go walk the family with little kids over there for the first time.
Yeah.
Do they need a bulletin? Let them know where the bathrooms are, blah, blah. Let them know. Like if you come to our church, I kind of tend to let people know if it's their first time, like, hey, so did you have like lunch plans? Like, oh yeah, we're meeting people at 12. not today. So you may want to let them know, like we generally go about 2 hours. So you probably won't be out till about 12:30. So like maybe just give someone like a heads up of what your church service looks like what to expect. I know people appreciate that. Like what is to, you know, be expected when they attend.
Yeah.
And don't sit in your seat until it's time to start. So when the, you know, the 5 minute countdown goes up, you know, you can even wait till maybe there's 2 minutes left, you know, and to be mingling, talking, you know, laughing with people, learning people's, you know, kids' names, all this
kind
of stuff.
And you don't have to do this like across the church. This could just be like, go find your seat, but then turn around. Is there someone sitting in their seat behind you? You know, because like, I know for us, we've got little kids, so we got to get them settled. We got to have like the whole talk about like how to be and behave appropriately when we're worshiping Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I'm
and
proud
so,
of y'all.
Have you seen a little change in our seat?
I have watched that.
Yes. They have. But anyways, I digress. So when you're sitting there, just turn next to you, turn behind you. Like, who's there? Hey, how's your week been? Yeah. You know, everything been good? Like, learn some simple questions that you can quickly, like literally memorize, like three questions.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do for work? Or, you know, and use those questions over and over and
over
again.
What brought you here? How did you find out about our church?
Yes.
You know, are you new to the area?
How long have you been coming to the church? I'm so sorry if you've been here for 7 weeks.
I know, that's what I do. That's what I do. I'm like, you've been coming a few weeks. How did you? 3 months. I'm like, well, good. I'm good. I finally got to. there's a little analogy, and this is, you know, probably how I want to end my aspect of this podcast. It's what I say when I teach this. And so I've gotten this a lot as being that woman in that position of pastor's wife or whatever. So I'll have someone in our church come to me and they'll be like, Deanna, my daughter and her husband and their children are visiting our church today. And they'll come to me and say, now listen, I really want you to come meet them. And I've watched that through the years. And so what they'll do is they make sure they have the seat saved. Mm-hmm. And I'll even ask them, like, you know, we're going to take them out to lunch today. And, or I have food ready at home. And I watch them. They constantly are looking at that back door where they're going to come in. And they're excited. And they've told everyone in their Sunday school class, listen, my daughter, her son, and my grandchildren are coming today. I want everyone to meet them. And you even go to the door. And you're like watching for them. And then when they come in, you're so excited and you take them to a few people and you like, okay, now you help them get to the nursery and you help them get their bulletin and all that kind of stuff. And even afterward, you're taking them around. And I say this is how we're supposed to be with the young lady that walks in that door by herself. You treat her as if your daughter was visiting that week.
Yeah.
When that older couple walks in, you treat them as if that's your parents walking in and you want everyone to know they're your parents. Mm. And I said, give the same treatment that you would to your biological family coming in as to anyone else walking in.
Yeah.
And I think that'll change your perspective, because I love what Tom Rainier said. Most people forget what it feels like to walk in a church for the first time.
Yeah, most regular church attenders.
Yes. And we get comfortable and we talk to the same people we know. Mm-hmm. Can I urge you, like Paul urges, step out of your comfort zone. Step out of the, you know, oh, this is my routine when I go to church, and look to see what others need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We did have just a few resources, which will be listed in the show notes below. So please go check those out. But when she mentioned earlier, please get your hands on some of these books. They have such helpful and practical ideas and advice on how to work on hospitality, but also on how just to relate to and connect with your spiritual family. So the main three we wanted to mention was a book by Jen Schmidt called Just Open the Door. Another one by Rebecca, I'm going to mess this up.
I know.
Van Duty Word.
I know.
Please look at the show notes below for that name. It's a very long spelled name, but
Van
it's
Dudeward.
Van Dudeward.
I don't. Yeah.
She's going to hate us if she.
That's fun to say.
Yeah, this is a great little tool. I think everyone in a church should need to read this.
So it's called How to Exercise Hospitality. That one, and then the last one is by Rosaria Butterfield, and that one is called The Gospel Comes with a House Key. So check those out below. We're going to end with our fun cup question, and then head on out here. We are going to do, this should be pretty short. Are you a spender or a saver?
Spender.
All right, we're all spenders here. And on that note, we thank you so much for your time. And we're going to see you on the next one. Bye. Hey, sisters. Thank you all so much for spending your time with us. We are excited and expectant for everything Jesus is going to do through these conversations. If you found this encouraging, insightful, or brought you some moments of joy or laughter, go ahead and share this episode with your spiritual sisters to keep today's conversation going. Then come on back and hang out with us on the next episode of The Iron Women.